Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello,
Pat Ramos and John Hamilton.
There you go. Hey,
what's going
that's
on?
That's my brother.
I want to welcome the Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. We'll give a big shout out to Sophia and Tony up in the north today, and Cindy and the crew down in the south. And we want a big shout out to those in the west and those in the nations around the world.
That's right.
And the Middle East that are listening. And it's exciting. We're just so encouraged. And we love God and we love you. And our desire is that you would be encouraged, and you would be not only encouraged, but enlightened. Because, you know, quite often, you know, you can get real excited, but there's no content. You know, it's like, woo, yes, but we haven't won a game in, like, you know, I'm talking the Saints. You haven't won a game. And,
right? Yes.
And, and it's like, at some point, you know, you've got to have content. You got to have some meat. It's got to have. And so that's what we really pray, that God would give you some, you know, some manna from listening and from following some of the wisdom that God is, as we were sharing, the Lord's laid on our hearts. And we're getting some great feedback. I mean, people are. And, but speaking of Pat, the no, really, his son, just a wonderful, was a younger son, Joe Nathan. He and I had a wonderful time, had a chance to go out. Well, actually, no, this is what was going on. This is what happened.
What happened? What happened?
I literally was going to the store.
Wow.
Wow.
Because I was going to buy some Lean Cuisines.
Oh wow!
They're amazing little things you throw in the microwave, and it's got a set amount of calories.
Have they come out with any new ones?
They're not a sponsor yet, but they can be.
They can be. Right now we're just calling Queen Bazine. Anyway, so so I'm gonna go because they have them on sale at a particular store or something. So I'm gonna go in there, I'm gonna grab me some of those things, and I go in there, and they weren't on sale.
Uh-oh.
And I wasn't gonna, you know, pay that kind of price for a less than, you know, volume meal.
Deck of cards.
And so I'm here. I'm pulling all the way out. And with my buggy, an empty buggy, I'm coming out. And I ran into Pastor Greg Burns coming out.
Oh, wow.
I was just, you know, planning on meeting with him. And, you know, we chat a little bit. And I'm heading out. So I'm thinking this. I'm thinking, well, I need to celebrate this because I got to wait for the sale. So I celebrated the delay in the sale by Joe Nathan and I. We're going to go to Wendy's, and we're going to celebrate the fact we're waiting on the sale. We're waiting on the sale, right? This is so exciting. I like where Chris has that box that cannot see him at all. That's a strategically placed box.
I see that thing.
Oh, there we go. Right. And it's a Domino's box. Is that what? No, just joking. And so I'm at Wendy's, and I'm going to go in there and just celebrate. We're celebrating this, and Jonathan's celebrating it with me. And he's a real cool dude. He really is. And he reads more books than John. He's just more books than his
dad. He reads more than I do, that's right? For sure.
So tell me what it said. And so I'm ordering my food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's ordering his, and he was debating between the Baconator.
Yeah,
see, look at that. You were right, Jonathan. I see you look on his face. You're right. Yeah. There he goes.
Yeah.
Or the spicy chicken sandwich. And he's making his decision, so I'm waiting. And finally I said, you know, I would like a number one, and a chili. A small chili.
You already know, huh? And the lady said,
well, we plan on eating all the chili. It's just a small, it's old hamburgers put together in some sauce. It's chili.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jonathan's giving me that look, the Hamilton look. You know, Pat works out continually and counts his calories.
Mm.
Groceries comes in. Poor Tracy brings the groceries in the door. He says, how many calories in that bag?
Exactly.
She says, 324. Come on in.
He has an app for that.
He has an app for that, right? Nope. Scans all their stuff. And so, sorry, kids. You can be free.
Is that why he likes to come?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll pick you up. We'll have popsicles.
All right. Just see what that boy eats.
And so this real nice cash register and cashier. Her name was Deborah, and she was just, you know, overly friendly, I guess, because she said, "So do you want chili or French fries?"
Or French fries.
And I don't want to eat French fries. I really don't like that, you know, French fries that much, unless it's those steak fries. Amazing. Those are good.
You like yours really crisp.
Yeah, really crisp. Not mush. No, you don't like mush either, right?
No mush.
No mush. Is that German? Anyway, so.
No mush.
Oof. Anyway, so.
anyway.
Spanish. We know. And so.
So you got chili and
so
fries.
No. Yes. And so the cashier says, and this is out loud too. She says, "So you want French fries and chili?" I'm like, "Oh my goodness!" And so Jonathan does the typical Pat thing. He looks at me, and goes, "Do you know how many calories was in that thing right there?"
No, he didn't.
Yeah. It was funny, and I said, "No, I don't want to know." But yeah, it was totally something. Jonathan, you were right. I should not have had that chili.
See, he was right.
But I didn't have supper that night. And I didn't have breakfast.
You were full.
It was amazing. But the biggest thing is this. And we're going to be talking in a minute about Bill Strickland. You've got to hear this about Bill Strickland. Is how much it costs to eat at Wendy's nowadays.
To eat anywhere.
I was shocked.
Oh, my goodness.
The cashier was shocked. I'm like... Do you know what I'm fixing to give you here for this burger and this old burger and a cup called chili?
Yeah, right.
I mean, what am I going to give you for this?
The American dollars?
It was $16 for
what?
$16 for Jonathan, and he ate a standard number whatever, and I had a number whatever with just the chili. It wasn't any much more, and it was like $16.
Wow.
And she says, "I know this is terrible, isn't it?" She's a good employee. You want to give her? But I'm just thinking, we have to negotiate this next order because
no
I was going
to
get a salad for Donna, you know, and afterwards. And I'm thinking, what does it come to? Fast food is like fast robbery nowadays. So I think it's time to cook. But either way, Jonathan and I had a wonderful time. And yes, it was a few calories, but I waited and burned them off. Over a day and a half to be able to get rid of him. John, tell us about Bill Strickland.
Man, this is I'm hearing about Bill.
Bill
and
dude,
what he is doing. Listen,
it's
a transference. You come in the region, it just gets on.
Oh, you're
you
blaming that on us?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Something.
I'm Pat, really, but.
Right.
So Bill.
Bill Strickland. Thank you.
Bill
Strickland. He is the president and CEO of Manchester Bidwell Corporation. And basically.
In Pennsylvania.
Actually, they have centers now, educational centers all across the country.
This is an amazing place.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about what he's doing in a previous program.
Which you can catch.
Of course.
TV.com.
But it's just it's amazing. What he wanted to do was to create an environment where inner city poor children in particular and adults can come into a place where they can have vision so they can actually be trained and be educated. And he has built, a top-notch, state-of-the-art, quality campus education center that would rival most colleges.
And museums.
Oh, museums.
He says something like he's been there 22 years, no security cameras, no metal detectors, in a neighborhood that has bars on the windows and hasn't even lost one pencil.
Is that amazing?
During those years because of the environment.
Is that amazing?
That is totally amazing. Although he did have big hands, and if he was counting out one, two, three, I would have listened. It could hurt.
Well, one of his driving philosophies is this, that environment drives behavior. Beautiful environment creates beautiful kids. Prisons create prisoners.
And that is so true.
That is so true.
It makes me think about the son of Hamas that we're going to be having coming up, that his environment molded him, and it wasn't until he began to be exposed outside of his environment that he found out the very, you know, this is son of Hamas, is a leader in Hamas, that he began to meet Jews, that he found out they're not what Hamas was saying they are. They're kind to me. They actually pay for my school and my education. But then he met Jesus.
Wow.
When he began to meet Christians, and then he had to get outside of his environment.
Environment means everything.
Yeah,
wow. Environment means everything. So you get
that's why the enemy tries to control the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have the right environment and then you have the right vision, you can actually begin to see yourself out of your present situation into a new place. But if you're never exposed to another environment, oftentimes you become a product of your environment,
mm-hmm.
whatever that environment is. And so it's interesting what he has been able to do, and the folks have been able to back his educational centers. I mean, we've talked about previously how the president of and founder, I believe, of eBay wrote him a check for $500 million. He tells a story. He didn't even know who he was. And the guy introduced himself and was obviously very humble. And Bill said, well, thank you very much. Took his card. And when he went back to his campus, he told one, he says, I talked to one of the techie kids we have there at the school. And I said, do you know who eBay is? And he says, oh, yeah. And he starts telling him, he says, oh, my goodness, I just met the founder. I could have picked my phone up and give this guy a call. Since when I call him, the founder says, I figured you'd figure it out sooner or later. And so he wrote him a check for what they're doing. And
you imagine, like, they won't deposit. I'm trying to deposit this. It's a $500,000.
It's a $500,000.
I wonder if PayPal will actually just do the transaction.
Oh, my goodness.
You imagine the fee they would take out of that.
Oh, my God.
Go straight to the bank. So he also has a partnership. He has a partnership with MIT, and they're doing these imaging centers. Well, he started raising money and speaking to different people. And Dizzy Gillespie, one of a jazz musician for many, many years, very successful, heard about what Bill was doing and came to the center and was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Bill, I'm supposed to help you. I want to help you get these all across the country. And they have a vision to build these educational centers, and these are career training centers. They can learn entrepreneurship,
high school,
horticulture, adults. I believe it's an adult and high school and adult,
a high school adult
program, but it's a training program, and it's amazing what they're growing in the inner city. You know, we'll have a video for you on the torch where you can watch it extensively and find out more information what they're doing. So Dizzy says, I want to help you, and what I'm going to do is, I want to bring a couple of my friends, Herbie Hancock and some other jazz musicians, and we're going to record a CD, and we're going to give you all the rights to it.
Oh, wow.
Well, they wind up recording 5 Grammy Award-winning CDs that they own.
Wow.
They have a state-of-the-art studio at this educational facility. And like I said, it's just pretty amazing of what they were able to do and the type of vision and how they've been able to help and empower poor people by just creating vision and educating them.
Let me show you how poor people's schools should look like. And all of a sudden, it goes like this museum. I know you're going to be talking to us about what if we as Christians understand that's what we should be doing. And it probably looks like they talk about the light and that, but they can take those same concepts and say, you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. But I know that when God launched VFN TV and the daily radio program, and we started all over the world, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden new cultures are coming in, and it began to really humble us to realize how diverse the world population is, and how, you know, you can't define communities and people and nations based off just your experiences. You got to be real slow to speak,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so many beautiful people in the world, and God loves the human race, and you need to keep your message as the church, you know, just pure in their context of. You know, it's not as complicated as religions made it out to be.
No, it's not.
And it's not as light as those who use grace for permission to do wrong is. But there is that reality. But it's just stepping outside of our environment.
Absolutely.
Of America.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, these centers, he has 100 planned for this country. There are a few of them that are being set up, 100 that are planned outside of this country. But I got to thinking, and I don't, you know, what they're doing educationally, it's good. They're training young people. Again, you know, we continue to do your research, but when we come back, the vision that I was getting and seeing is that imagine what would happen, Greg. Imagine what happened, Pat, when the kingdom of God really begins. What can we do in the kingdom with educational top quality sensors
mm-hmm.
that will equip Christians in the church to really function and move in the 7 mountains that, you know, we've talked about
before. Stock centers, man.
Oh, my goodness. Do you see it?
I'm seeing it.
Do you see it?
I can't wait to get back and talk about it.
When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to cast vision and share about some creative, awesome environments that we can put together for the kingdom of God. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A strong-willed person can be a great problem solver, but sometimes a little bit difficult to live with. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Psychologist Dr. Debbie Cherry is a self-described strong-willed woman, and her husband has figured out a way to get the two of them on the same page when there's a problem.
If you will grab a hold of her problem-solving skills and get her to help you solve a problem, she's great at it. But if you just attack the problem and just say, this is what you need to change, she's going to fight you. So I think probably Jim's wisdom, without realizing it, he would come at this and say, I've got a problem. I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me? And all of a sudden I spark and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. So try to engage her strong-willed skills that work and help her get involved in problem-solving with you.
There's no doubt that understanding your spouse's strengths is critical to managing your conflicts with them. For more from Debbie Cherry today, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
God is putting together today establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce says, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely His, so that He may strongly support them. And when He does find what He's looking for, He's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy, but I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model, but it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with Him and His name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man. Isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have His power, I expressed His radiant nature. Wow. That blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the apostolic resource centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because He's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay. And they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about Bill Strickland, what's going on, but we're really realizing, you know, that this is what we're supposed to be doing. As we just heard, you know, Paul Keith Davis talk about it, that apostolic cups, you think about so many, Chuck Pierce, you think about
Dutch Sheets.
You think about Rick Joyner. You think about you know, what is an apostolic hub? Well, to be truthfully with you, the context of that is something that we're all just trying to grab a hold of and doing our best to articulate it. But the big thing is, you think about it, it's about communicating the gospel to the next generation on a foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word, and just building on that versus trying to build on what's messed up.
Right.
You know, it's being brave enough to build again, being brave enough to say, you know, that served its purpose in the day, and we honor what has been done, because it wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for that. And we honor as it continues on. But are we willing to build for the future? And the truth is, right now, the present day church is turning to the government for everything almost. They're turning to the tax base for everything. We don't even realize that if we decide to give God what is His, then the church will have enough, but it has to be an apostolic mindset, because for some reason, you know, it's, you know, we're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer when you could actually build houses for believers, or even people that may get saved because you gave them a house. And it's like, what are we doing in the context of that? Maybe it's time to, you know, begin again for the next generation, honoring those that have gone before us. And you think about this, you know, Bill Strickland, you know, he's proving, you know, that you can do this in the midst of terrible environment, right?
Right. I mean, think about it. In the inner city of Pittsburgh, where they have tremendous amount of crime, where he says just right down the street from his own educational center, the school that he graduated from has bars and metal detectors, not a single pencil has been stolen from the state-of-the-art educational facility where they cook gourmet lunches and feed them gourmet lunches.
People don't listen when they're hungry.
Exactly.
In 20-something years, I believe that not one pencil was taken.
Yeah.
With no security cameras, no metal detectors, in the midst of a place that requires metal detectors in the community at all.
And that's why we're talking about the power of vision. I mean, what happened when the church gets the vision back to realize, wait a minute, we can begin apostolic training centers.
Right.
That God will establish in His kingdom,
right,
to handle and share the truth regarding the seven mountains. You know, seven mountains are so important. You're talking about mountains of business.
There's seven of business.
Government, family, religion, media, education, and entertainment. And you find whoever's on the top.
Somebody's on top of those mountains right now.
That's right. And whoever's on top of the mountain really dictates what's happening on that entire mountain.
Mm-hmm. It boils down to king of the mountain, just like a kid, didn't it?
Isn't it something?
Whoever gets on top of the mountain. He's having flashbacks. Yeah, I remember pushing Chris down the mountain.
That's right.
Right? No, no.
And I say that it's only fitting that the King of Kings should be on the king of all those mountains.
Exactly.
And,
that's it.
And as King's children,
he should be in the high place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As King's children, we can help to do that.
Right.
And so expanding our vision and creating those environments.
Instead of just shutting down, we could say, you know what? I could begin to see, and we're seeing right now with God's Not Dead movie, we're seeing Heaven's for Real, we're seeing Persecuted, the movie, and this the Bible done by the History Channel.
So that entertainment and media.
Yeah, and the media and entertainment's being taken over. We're seeing the family. One of the mountains is family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting back and say, yeah, we've given family to the government, and they're defining it the best way they know how to define it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get back and say, wait a minute, this is what God says family is. And we can take it back and begin to say, you know what, this is what family really is.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why it's being redefined is because we lost the mountain.
Yeah.
Or we gave it up. You know, the family mountain. Because family came from God. I mean, God created family.
Created,
you know, Adam and Eve, as we talked about in our earlier programs. But yeah, this is so huge. And think about it. Just like Paul Keith Davis stated, and so many are doing, and even with the VFN Dream Center in the Gulf Coast, where God called to establish the VFN Dream Center in Pensacola, Florida. That's amazing what God is doing, and then confirming it and what he's doing. Listen, he's doing it all over the land. Find out where God has called you to be. Find out where he said, you know what? This is where I want you to be, and I want you to be a part of what I'm about to do and what I'm going to do, and I'm going to train you up, like Ephesians 4:11 says, to be able to do great exploits for this next generation, because I love them, I love you, and I got a plan for your life. Get connected. Find out today if that is for you.
Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola. Not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Mm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Welcome. Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Join us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to give a big shout-out to our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. For those that have not yet subscribed to the newsletter, don't forget, it's free. It comes to you every week. If you miss it this way, you can get it that way. Everything's available for you, and you can forward it to a lot of friends, and they can listen right off the email to some particular segment or something that you needed to encourage you. You can do it right now by texting VFNTV to the number 22828. Text V as in Victor, VFNTV, to the number 22828. We're excited about talking to you today about the wisdom moment. You know, there's so many things taking place, but we want to, you know, above everything, because there's so much information coming our way. And if you missed, you know, about the program that we talked about, how much knowledge is happening, it was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah. What was the particular measurement term that we were using? It wasn't the yodabyte, but
exabyte.
The exabyte. Mm-hmm. And how much presently is knowledge is there right now, and how they're talking about it could be doubling every 12 hours. So that's twice in every 24-hour cycle. The thing is that what do we need? You know, what do we need? We need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. So I'll be talking about today is the wisdom moment, you know, from Proverbs. And we have an acquaintance of ours that, based on testimonies, that he's just been prosperous in everything that he's done. And so he said, you know, what is one of his secrets? And one of his secrets, or one of the practices that he does in his life, we call him Forrest Gump, I think, is that whatever day of the month that there was, corresponding month, he would, because there's 31 chapters of Proverbs, and he would read that proverb. So if it's the 20th of the month, he would read chapter 21. And he would not only read Proverbs, but he would apply those principles and that wisdom to the businesses. To, he had medical business, he had investment business, mm-hmm. banking business, and all these different things that he was involved in. And lots of things.
Lots of things.
Based on his testimony. And that applying that wisdom prospered him. And people would send their business projections and companies that were interested in buying to him, and he would look them over based off the wisdom of God, you know, what it looks like based on that. And by doing so, other people got blessed as well to be able to do that. And so I want to encourage you, when you hear wisdom moments, take a moment, because they're not going to be necessarily long and extended out, but they're going to be very, very important, because you're going to need some wisdom in the midst of all this knowledge. There's so much knowledge and so much information. And some people say, my job is, I got to get this, I got to gather that, I got to get this. And people are just saving more information and more information. I mean, they had this program on television, I can't even watch it, but it's called Hoarders, mm-hmm. where people are hoarding like stuff and things. But the reality is, there's data hoarders. They're hoarding just, I don't know, save it. You know, and it's just like, oh, what is it going to do? I mean, the best blessing of all could be like a hard drive crash. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it could be if you backed it up.
Unless it's backed up.
Yeah. And it's just like, hey, you know, in regards to just you're relieved from that spirit of hoarding data. Because the truth is, you can have an exabyte of data. You can have a yodabyte. Mm. They're actually the biggest right now, I think, is yodabyte. Like Yoda and some program. What's it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Ozzy and Harry.
You don't know?
No.
Yoda?
Yeah, that's Chris.
You don't know what Yoda is?
Wow. No.
Yo, what's up?
Wow, man? We've heard it first right now.
I know that.
This pause right now. This is, step back. Let's be careful.
So there was the moment.
There was the moment. Right.
There was the good moment. That, huh? He's getting good.
So it was wrong. And you can tell who's doing all the technology, right? All the names of these different things. Mm. One is like Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Bite. Something like that.
He's guilty. I hear the peanut gallery over there.
And also we're going to be talking about, if you missed Bill Strickland programs, we talked about mm-hmm. Bill Strickland, and what's the name of his school again?
Manchester Bidwell Corporation.
Yes, you want to find out about that, because that these apostolic centers, you know, we can learn a lot from those that have gone before us, and is walking out human nature in the context of that. and also an abiding moment that's going to be coming. But I want to go right into the wisdom moment for today. And the wisdom moment for today comes from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, whoever remains stiff-necked, after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without rebuke. I mean, we're just kind of hovering. I've been kind of really abiding on the suddenlies, and there's just so many suddenlies in the Word of God and the prophetic word going forth by Brother John Kilpatrick about the suddenlies in these 100 days is that we have to understand there's some good things and bad things happen suddenly. Mm-hmm. But I thought what's pretty interesting, he says that, you know, when you're looking at this, you know, what is stiff neck? Stiff neck, when you're looking at the definition of that, is having a stiff neck. You think about that. That means you have the inability to turn your head. Mm. You have the inability to turn. You have the inability to repent. Or the refusal. You're so stiff, you're not going to repent. You're just going to continue on, which means this, by the way, that no matter what you say, if you don't turn, that's a choice that you're making. You're being stiff-necked. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So that you think about that. And also it means another definition of for is haughty or obstinate. So haughty or obstinate. And it's amazing that, you know, pride is a real, real amazing thing and how stiff-necked in the human nature and how obstinate. But he says, listen, and it also means, by the way, just some words that mean the same thing as stubborn, obstinate, pig-headed. Mm. You're just being pig-headed. They're saying you're being stiff-necked. Mm. It's like a word you would like, right? Pig-headed. I don't know what you're doing
among
with pork.
Others.
And so think about it. So here, thinking about the he says, whoever remains stiff-necked, another whoever remains stubborn. I mean, there is amazing. I mean, there is nothing more stubborn than religion. Mm. It is amazing. It's like, I know you're talking about Jesus, but you're not following him.
Right.
You're being stubborn.
I hear
here.
What you're saying, but
you know, and understand. He says, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes. Think about this. So there's many rebukes, which is pretty cool. So in God's patience, he will allow us to be told many times his expectations of us. He will just allow us to be told, you know, many times, you know. And somebody says, you know, well, I'm talking with folks. Somebody says, well, you said the very same thing, the very same way, the very same tone. I was like, you're just giving somebody the opportunity to do what's right. So we should all do that because it's just, it don't change the message. Just realize they need to respond to the original message, whatever that was. And so he's saying, when you think about this, then God gives us many times. But understand the patience of God. Often, you know, and we're seeking to understand the patience of God. He's very patient, obviously, with us. But often, these many times of warning and rebukes can cause some people to think God is all talk and no action. Mm. I mean, they really will just think that, you know, oh, I've heard that message. You know, yeah, you got on to me about that before. Yeah, you did this before. Yeah, God. And it's a rebuke. It's not like, hey, I mean, this is like a rebuke. I mean, things crashed and burned. Something happened. Lightning. I don't know. And so because he's so patient, patience means going through our stiff-neckedness and not responding to us as it, you know, deserves. He's being merciful to us. And so some people just interpret that by thinking that God is all talk and no action. Hmm. And so they just continue on thinking, well, nothing happened the last 10 times I went down to Delilah's house. Or they get this lie, they believe this lie, that it's just a suggestion with no consequences. Because, I mean, he rebuked me hard the first time and nothing happened. I'm still here, still got my job. Mm-hmm. You reboot me again, and things are still going good, and I got this, and I'm still eating, and things are going. It's amazing, and it's just like, wow, it's not good. I mean, it's kind of plainly says, don't do that. And but one day, when they still fail to turn and are once again going through a situation that they got rebuked for, a suddenly happens. Hmm. A suddenly happens. And even though they walk out of it a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later, they still don't repent. And to their surprise, sometimes even in the midst of their sin, to their surprise, calamity happens. Mm-hmm. Destruction happens. And the thing is that it's like, and you're shocked. You're shocked. The mercies of God. And he said, and you think about this, he says, so all of a sudden they're destroyed without remedy. It's not like, it's like destroyed without remedy. There's marriages, this particular marriages, for example, that somebody didn't listen to, their marriage is destroyed without any chance of reconciliation. It's just destroyed. You will never be married to him or her again, and you will never have the form of relationship, a normal relationship again with that man or that woman again. There's families that is just suddenly destroyed, never to sit around a table again, being normal as family. You might know each other, but it's destroyed. You'll never have that family again. There's jobs that are destroyed, and just you're being fired and being removed from your job, never to be work for that company again. And there's companies that God blessed you with, and businesses that God blessed you with, but you didn't remember him, and he dealt with you, and you still didn't do what's right, and it's destroyed, and you'll never have that business again, and it'll be only a memory. And the customers who once did business with you only remember once they did business with you, because suddenly it was destroyed. You didn't listen to the rebuke. And there's nations that were once the breadbasket of the world, whose leadership was followed by other nations, and even by the smallest or largest nations, they followed this nation, and even the enemies of this nation followed this nation. But the nation wouldn't listen to the rebuke. When the Lord asks us anything, our answer should be, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. The first time. Mm-hmm. We must be careful not to get confused or deceived in thinking that the fact that he is being patient with us and has yet to destroy us or take things away from us, that he didn't mean what he said the first time. Mm-hmm. To me, it kind of blows my mind, but that's exactly how people just think. You know, just keep on doing it. Right. Keep on doing it. And the wisdom moment for today lets us know in Proverbs 29:1, the wisdom moment for today, Proverbs 29:1, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. Well, you know, when I first started in law enforcement, which it's history for me now, they issued you this flashlight. And the flashlight they issued was like a plunger. I was like, it was so huge. It had to have all these different batteries in it to be able to be a big, bright light, they thought. I don't know. And it was like a plunger. And I remember this one particular time. And you turn it on, it probably light up, I don't know, nothing. You know, but of course, if you're in a real dark, dark place, it was nice to be able to at least know your next 12 inches that you could go.
Right.
And we were in a particular area where we had this suspect that had burglarized and did this crime. And he ran up in these real dark, dark woods. So I jump out of my cruiser. I lock my doors, which is a good thing. Didn't always happen that way. Mm-hmm. And I start chasing him in these dark woods, just dark, with my little 12-inch beam of light. And I'm out there, you know, and you're just chasing. You get caught up in this adrenaline, back when I used to have adrenaline like that. And you're just running and chasing and running and chasing. And, you know, it's just a miracle because you can barely see with that light. And he got so far ahead of me, I couldn't see him. and all of a sudden my light goes out.
Oh, wow.
Not only was I complaining about the 12-inch beam, but now I had no inch beam. You know, and I'm out here possibly with this armed burglar in the dark, dark woods, and you couldn't even see. I mean, you couldn't see anything. So I put my back against this real big, huge tree, this huge tree. And because I figured, listen, my back's covered, and I start banging on my flashlight. I'm banging on it, right? Like, come on, you got to work, come on. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just beating on it. And all of a sudden, I hear on the radio, they said, the canines are here. They call my radio. Oh, you can hear it.
Right.
We're about to lose the canine dogs after the suspect. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I'm blind. I'm in the woods, probably an armed burglar. And I can't see anything. And all of a sudden, I saw like a little crack of light outside the woods, and I just took a beeline for it because the dogs would have not told the difference between me or the suspect. And I'm running for my life. I don't know if I'm going to get shot by this armed man or I'm going to be bit by this armed dog. You know what I'm saying? And I'm running. Finally, man, I made it to my car. And long story short, that the suspect was arrested. Of course, the dogs are very good.
Mm-hmm.
And got the man arrested. I have him cuffed in the back of my cruiser, and I'm doing the paperwork, and I'm talking, and I finally asked the man. I said, "Listen, when I was chasing you in the woods, and my flashlight went out, and I was beating on my flashlight, where were you?" And he said, "I was on the other side of the tree."
Oh my God!
Is that terrible?
Oh my God!
The one you were standing by?
Yes. Oh, he was on the other side of the tree that I was leaning against the whole time, right there.
Oh.
The Lord is good, is He not?
Amazing.
The Lord is good.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I want to encourage you, if you have not yet gone to the VFN Torch, go to the VFN Torch. I'm looking at the articles right now. First article is a segment, Power, Jesus. Power, authority. It's time to lift up the name of Jesus in our hearts, lives, families, church gatherings, and the nation in the place that He so deserves. I mean, talking about anointing the borders of your community. Powerful, power packed, the night of power, it's called, anointing the borders and being filled with the power of God. And kingdom first, talking about a perspective of, you know, Rick Joyner and how it's important to put kingdom first. Information doubling every 12 hours. A Jew and an Arab are passing out Bibles together. 7 months to bury the bodies. 7 years to burn the weapons. Revival breaking out in Northern Africa and Muslim countries in North Africa. An amazing testimony about a young blind man that was abandoned by his father that God is using today. Nuclear bomb protection belt that's being developed right this moment. You can actually see it in progress. A few humor moments and just on and on, going for days, including Azusa Street Revival 2.0. Is it about to happen again? There's so many things. You can get there by going to VFNTV.com. In the upper left-hand corner, you'll see that burning torch. Click on that, and that'll take you to all of this plus some. John, talk to us about this protocol for an outpouring for God. What is this?
Well, you know, God spoke to me before my head came off the pillow. And I heard this clear as day. Mm-hmm. He said, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. That's why I've sent you."
Wow.
That's why God sent us. He's sending us into the
say
harvest.
Say that one more time now.
The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. That's why I sent you.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
Is that powerful?
That is definitely powerful.
God is sending us. He has sent us and is continuing to send us into the harvest field. And we've been praying and believing. And
there's people
speaking
right now listening and watching us that God has sent them.
Yes, He has.
He desires to send them.
Yes, He has. But we've been praying and believing, and God's been speaking and sharing with us about this coming outpouring of His Spirit. And it just, you know, everyone that I'm speaking to, we're constantly talking about it with great anticipation.
The coming outpouring?
The coming outpouring of God's Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Move of God. That's what I'm talking about. And as I've been talking to, like I said, to many folks in our conversations, I'm personally having, and I'm witnessing others having, great anticipation, great faith to see what God's getting ready to do.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'm stirred up in my spirit, and many are too. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I was thinking about this and just, you know, praying, the Lord spoke to me in my abiding time to go and to go to Joel. And I'm somewhat familiar with the book of Joel. And,
Joel 2. That's one we quote all the time. 2, 2, 2,
right.
2.
Joel
there's
2.
A one, to get to 2, you first got to go to 1, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll just skip 1.
No. Don't skip 1.
1 is amazing,
don't,
huh?
Don't skip 1. 1 is amazing. Because, yeah, I was familiar with 2, but I was not so familiar with chapter 1. And chapter
buzz
1.
On through that skip
one.
That part.
Yeah. Chapter 1 is something that's very, very serious. And
and this is like a protocol, and what protocol meaning means basically what happens before an outpouring.
What
refreshing.
Happens? Yeah, what happens before an outpouring? Because a lot of people want outpouring, they want the refreshing, they want God's blessing, they want to feel the presence of the Lord, they want to see miracle signs, wonders, souls being saved. Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants it, you know. Yet there's a protocol to that, and this is what he begins to share in chapter 1. And he talks about the locusts, the great locusts that have come to eat everything up. And he says, after the great locusts have come.
Now we're talking about outpouring here. We're not locusts.
I know. We're getting there. We're getting
so
there.
So people are losing their food sources with locusts.
Yes. Yes.
So you're saying before 2 happened, when the outpouring happened in 2, you're saying that first happened was scarcity in food. The locusts
scarcity
devour
food.
Food.
Yeah. Wow. And it was levels of scarcity because these locusts, after there were different type of locusts that kept coming,
mm-hmm.
and with each locust that came, there was more devouring of what was there.
Which loci are you?
Careful, careful, careful. But wow. But verse 5 is really gets me where he begins to say, 1:5, wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips.
Wow.
It has been snatched from your lips. And you think about what's happening in America. Sure. You happen what's going on right now, right in front of us. So many people are drunk and intoxicated
right.
on the things of this world. They're totally right. in an altered, stupefied state of mind that the right. dictionary says stupefied.
May have never touched liquor itself.
Exactly.
But totally
intoxicated.
By the things of the world.
By the things of this world and sin. And God saying, listen, I have a greater intoxication for you.
Right.
It's my presence. It's my love. But that new wine, this new outpouring has been snatched from you because you can't have it.
Right.
You can't have it because, you know, everyone wants refreshing. But the Bible tells us that, you know what, repentance precedes refreshing. You know what I'm saying? It's not refreshing, then repentance. It's,
so he says in Acts, he says, repent and times of refreshing will come upon you.
That's right. That's right.
The order thing going on.
You got to have the order.
A protocol.
Right.
You're saying repentance has to come first?
Imagine that. Repentance has to come first. And that word is, we got to, you know,
take it back,
reclaim that word because you got to take it back because it means so many things, so many different people.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Well, it just means to really, first of all, to understand that, wow, you know, I need to take ownership for this sin. You got to have an acknowledgement, a confession, a realization of what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then God stirs on the inside of you and you embrace an attitude of repentance, which means you begin to change your mind how you felt about that sin.
Right.
And when you change your mind and your attitude, your actions follow. And so you're not just making a confession, but there's a complete change.
Isn't it interesting, too, in the beginning, even before that, when you think about Nehemiah, that he was broken because of the consequences of the which creates a momentum for us to begin that first thing. We're not sorry for something that we don't see as bad. We're not sorry. I mean, some people say things because they think that that is the switch to click for a move of God. Versus, no, this is horrific what's happened. This is so sad, remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because he begins to talk about weeping, wailing, and mourning.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of things, but do we have a spirit of weeping? Do we have a spirit of wailing, of literally mourning and understanding what has happened in our nation, what's happened in the church, what's happened in our own personal lives?
Right.
You know, the word wail means to utter a prolonged, inarticulate, mournful cry.
Wow.
We have prayed a lot of articulate prayers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And mourn because we didn't get a pay raise or something.
Absolutely.
We're talking about the consequences of our sin.
We're talking about the consequences. Yeah. How does these atrocities look before God? And then in chapter 2, he begins to start talking about calling a sacred assembly.
Oh, wow.
He says, gather all the people, bring everybody out.
Based on repentance.
Based upon repentance. It's not about not a party. Meeting. No, this ain't a party. It's not a bless me club. This is not something we do on a show.
It makes me think about Steve Hill. He preached repentance every single
night. Every night. Every night.
Brownsville outpouring.
Brownsville outpouring. Yeah. People keep thinking, you know, we often talks about the hours spent afterwards and the prayer and the glory and
every
the presence.
Night, everything.
But what preceded the glory, what preceded the hours
That's
of
right.
prayer, what
That's
preceded
right.
all that was repentance every single night. People getting right with God. And so, you know, here we are. It's like, listen, God wants to pour out his spirit again. He's calling sacred assemblies, calling for us to repent. Come on, get so that these times of refreshing will come. Wow. But we got to get right with God.
So it comes in humility.
Humility.
Wow. Dear Lord, give us a grace for the protocol for the outpouring that you're going to bring in this land, we ask in Jesus' name.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.